It is important that talent take their self development very seriously. But however, employers also play a very significant responsibility in this fast-paced Nigeria ecosystem, right? So we also cannot wait for a talent that is fully formed. They've done their bit to do some sort of level of self development in themselves. But we also cannot wait, because like I said earlier, it's our problem. It is not a federal government problem. It is our problem. So upskilling and reskilling employees should be part of our company long-term strategy. Very important. Very, very important.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Modern Workplace Conversations, where we explore critical and often under-discussed topics within the professional world. Every week, we'll feature experts ranging from HR professionals to operators to lawyers to managers and CEOs to provide you with diverse perspectives on workplace issues, trends, and best practices. I'm Oluwanifemi Kolawole, Senior Editor, TechPoint Africa. How long do you think a tech talent should spend in training before they are considered employable? Whose role is it to upskill employees? What roles do tech training institutes play in equipping tech talent with critical soft skills? And what metrics are considered for the success of employee upskilling initiatives? Let's answer these questions and more with Blessing Obiomi, CTO RegTech, a tech, media and consultancy platform focused on regulatory tech innovation in Africa, and also the co-founder of the Setup Academy, a digital talent development hub. Let's get into the conversation.
Thank you once again, Blessing, for joining me on this conversation. And I believe you will be in the best position to speak to this objectively. This conversation is going to start from trying to understand what was like the ideal length or duration for a tech talent, either a developer or a designer or any of those adjacent tech roles. How long do they have to be trained before they are considered quality enough to be hired by both startups and corporate organizations?
Okay, so for how long it's going to take for talents and for talent to be hired, especially developers and UI designers, I think it's a relative question in that sense, right? So there are a lot of factors that actually determine that. So first of all, is the quality of education that our talent receives, right? So we see our talent cannot deliver beyond the value of education that is needed. So if you want them to churn out quality talent in time, right, we want to ensure that we're also putting quality education in that frame of time. So we need to look at the various education platforms that make investments in this talent, to engage and probably design the quality of what is being taught to them, right, in that time frame. Right. If you take, for instance, our education system, people use 3 to 4 years or 5 years in the system, and still they come out, they don't have the necessary skills for them to solve that problem. So maybe the question that we should not be asking is the question of time. In that sense, I think what we should be focused on is what is the quality of education that they have, because there are people that are doing 6 months program, right, for the developer as a case study, right, that they are doing 6 months program and they come out to be able to solve that problem. So question of what is the source, what is the secret that which to which that differs for somebody that goes into university for 3 to 4 years, study computer science and engineering, and somebody that does a 6 month program, right? And that the person is solving more problems than the person that has spent 3 to 4 years in the university. So maybe, like I said, maybe the question should not be focused on how long in that sense, more on what is the quality of education that they are receiving. You know, in a recent data released by Nigerian Bureau of Statistics, it says that 33% of university graduates are unemployed, and it's not because they do not have, and it's not because there's no job rather, right? It's just because they do not have the technology that is required in today's job market. So it's very simple. If we want to improve the quality of talent, regardless, we need to improve on the quality of education by improving the content and the strategy of how the content is being delivered to this.
So would you say with quality in check, a 3-month tech training for a software engineer will produce a quality talent that you would want to hire? In an entry role.
Okay, so with quality in check, I believe it's the approach that is taken, if you ask me, right? So what I think we should do is that we need to move from theoretical-based framework to a project-based framework, right? So that's what I would say. Because part of the thing that it helps is that it helps them solve real problems. So it's more like doing a simulation of what do you call it now? It's more like doing a simulation of the kind of problem that you want them to solve in the first place. So if somebody goes into a training program for 3 months, maybe not for software development as a question case, right? But maybe for another role. But for software development, maybe you're looking at 6 months. So, but what I'm focusing on or what I'm trying to emphasize here is that in terms of the quality, we need to move from theoretical base where we are teaching people how to use it too. Because if you look at the university education system, that is majorly what is being done. And somehow, some way, we're also transporting that into how we deliver trainings as well when it comes to digital skill ups, acquiring digital skills. So we need to move to project based. A very case example that I would give is the Andela approach when they started out. These guys, immediately they were onboarded, they start with project almost immediately, and they're working with clients, they're solving real life problem, right? And by solving this real life problem, it becomes a bit easier for them to be able to acquire the skills that are needed in terms of collaboration, teamwork, able to solve real problem, critical thinking. These are part of the skills that they have. So when they are not drafted into the workforce, right, it becomes a bit easier for them to solve those problems because at that level, their confidence level has improved because they know that they've already solved one problem or the other before then, right? So it's not difficult for them to tackle whatever problem, even though it seems different, but it's not difficult for them to tackle the problem because they already have some sort of simulation in terms of problem solving. Another skill set that they've been able to acquire beyond just technical skills and soft skills that they've been able to acquire.
Thank you for that. See the objectivity I'm talking about, because one concern we've expressed. Let me backtrack. In December, when the federal government was going to launch the 3MTT, I interviewed like 5 edtech players, and I asked about what they think about the initiative. And one concern majority of them raised was whether the people that will be released in 3 months, since that is the duration of each cohort, if they would be employable. Now, fast forward to when the second cohort, the fellows graduated, and I reached out to some of those founders, and one of the things they mentioned was, the ministry started hawking this talent, and it's not sure whether he would want to hire any of them, even if it's for internship roles. Now, if you want to hire an entry-level developer now, how many projects do you look out for that they should have in their portfolio before they are hired, and how long do you envisage that those kind of projects will take? So this will give us an idea of how long, ideally, a person should be trained for. Not especially if they are not self-trained, they are not self-learning, they are going to an academy or a training institute. I think that will give us an idea of how long they should be there for, so that they can have like at least the basic prerequisite before they are hired in the market. I don't know if you
I got your question. So I think I want to answer this question from a slightly different perspective. So I think we also should look at, we should commend the effort of the federal government in terms of the 3MTT, because the initiative and the objective of that initiative is that we want to empower people, right? We say that there's a problem. So currently, we don't have enough talent. So something has to be done, right? So if something has to be done, we need to start something anyways, right? So how it is done, maybe there's something that can be done better in that regard, but we also need to commend the Ministry of Information and Communication regarding what they are doing in that regard. Because, like I said again, the objective is to upskill and empower people that in no way they can make pay. They can't even pay for courses. They don't have access to these courses because all of these things are expensive. The list that you get when you want to sign up for any of these courses, you're having 100,000, 150,000. And that's at the median level, average level that you're going to be taught. If you actually want to go proper and professional level, you are probably paying more than that. So what the federal government has done in this case is to make this thing accessible to those that don't have the purchasing power, right? So we need to commend them for that. But to look at it from the other side, the conversation is to say that maybe across all of the skill sets, we need to design something that works for each of the skill sets, right? So take your software development as an example. So if we are saying that graphic design, take that for example, is 3 months, you definitely cannot say software development is 3 months. So we need to probably rework the framework such that it is effective. Because at the end of the day, if what we are doing is not effective, what's the essence of what we are doing in the first place, right? So I think it's important for us to look into that. And like I said, I mentioned earlier that we need to look at how our education is being delivered, the content, the how long it is. Those are part of things that needs to be looked at. But overall, like I said, we need to commend the federal government because, again, the objective of the federal government is that we give these people the power that they need to start something, right? So I think in often than what it is, companies should actually collaborate with the federal government to see how this can be done. So, and I think maybe in terms of reward, federal government should look at how they can draft internship, maybe another 2 months internship into what it is that is being done, right? So that they can identify companies where these people can actually go to solve real life problem. And under that internship, part of the thing that you have access to is mentorship. And I think it's something very, very critical as well, because it has to connect the theoretical knowledge that they have to practical, solving practical problems in this case, right? So I think it's important that companies also collaborate with the federal government to ensure that this 3MTT is a success, because at the end of the day, it's our problem, not a federal government problem. It is our problem. So if we need to solve that, we need to stop casting up aspersion and see how can we contribute to this. I understand that the quality that is coming out of 3MTT maybe and is not there at the moment in that sense, right? But as a company, can we contribute to that and hire them as internship and see what we can do to give them the quality that we need? If you're actually thinking of this from a problem perspective, our problem perspective, you understand. So that's what I would my comment would be on that.
So personally, how many projects should a developer have in their portfolio before you can hire them?
So there is no, what's the word now? There is no yes and no question or exact amount, right? Because sometimes you can gauge experience. Even if you have 10 projects in your portfolio, it depends on what is the level of your contribution to that particular project. That's the other question. What's the level of your contribution to that particular project? So what you are looking for is beyond just the number of projects. You are looking for, were you part of the problem solving, right? What is your contribution in that problem that you solve? So even if it is 3, and that 3 is, say, a very massive problem in code, and you are one of the major stakeholders that solved that particular problem based on the way you have communicated to me and how the problem has been solved. I mean, I can hire you on board because what I'm looking for is somebody that can think critically, not somebody that has done so much. It's not about activity, it's about the content that the developer has. So,
okay, that's fair. Before we move on from that question, you made the claim that time that there are not enough talent. Well, that has been questioned, and it's now more of there are not enough quality talent. Mm-hmm. So demand, there's still demand for talent, but the market is saturated, as it were. Not my claim. Now, this is what I've been able to find out. The market is saturated. There is still demand for talent, but it is for quality talent. So the saturation in the market is not really what the market is looking for. So I don't know if you agree with that. Is it that there is less supply and more demand, or there is more demand but the quality of the supply is not what the demand is asking for?
Yeah, so I probably will agree with the quality of talent less. So that means that there's a lot of demand, but there isn't so much supply, right? And, you know, like I said earlier, I can't fault the talent as much. or alone. Let me say, I can't put the talent alone. We have to look at this from a holistic perspective, right? Because if, like I said, we can't make certain investment in a talent and we're expecting a different result. You understand what I'm saying? It's not possible. I used the talent institution as an example the other time. So imagine, let's just look a bit into that. The same curriculum that my dad was trained with while he was in school, the same curriculum that I was trained with, and most likely the same curriculum that my kid will be trained with, except I change that to say that, okay, I don't want you to study in this environment. I want you to go abroad to go and study. Except I change that. It's most likely the same curriculum that is going to be trained with. So why do we expect something different? If we are training them with the same curriculum over the years and there's no change. So what that tells us is that in terms of the quality of education that we're giving these guys, it has to be different. It has to be different. The other thing that I think that has to improve is access to resources, right? So unfortunately, Nigeria currently struggles with the whole lot of infrastructure issues. And some people might argue that because maybe they are staying in the urban areas, the likes of Ibadan, Lagos, Abuja, Port Harcourt, you know, all of this is available. But the problem at the back of that is that there are 67% of Nigerians that still lack access to infrastructure. That lack access to infrastructure. And this has caused a huge digital divide, if you understand what I mean. It has caused a huge digital divide that these people do not have access to all of this initiative that we are trying to drive. So the education initiative, empowerment initiative that is championed by both public and private sectors, they do not have access to it. So what are we then doing, right? And for those that are even have access to it, they are doing the best that they can with the resources that they have, right? And in some way, somewhat, the economy is not even favoring them in that course. So what we need to do is to see how we can improve our infrastructure and make it more accessible. It is not about just creating the infrastructure alone, right? It's also about making us. There's a recent thought that I had about how internet connectivity is being done in this country. I'm not saying that, companies should not make profit out of it, but the federal government should see to it that this is like a basic human requirement in this internet age, right? So that you are making internet connectivity accessible to all the youth, right? Whatever way you want to do that. I see that Nico Smart is doing something in that regard, ensuring that there are internet in rural areas. Can we do more of that and make it more accessible and make it more affordable, right? Make it more affordable. You see, there are two problems that I believe that if you solve in this country in terms of infrastructure, we'll improve our workforce significantly. Because everyone will have access. These two things are power and internet connectivity. If those two critical problems are resolved, there are a lot of talent that would come out, right? And all of these initiatives that we're driving, they will have access to it. Then also in terms of quality, we talked about, there's another point that I think is also very critical here, is the training method. And I think I've talked a bit on that, right? It is how we train with a theoretical framework rather than a project-based learning. If we shift our focus to project-based learning, I think we'll have more quality talent that comes out of our education system, right? I will give a very successful case study to buttress my point here. So in 2019, I was privileged to be part of the an initiative in Edo state government. It's called Edo Jobs. The objective of that initiative is to empower 200,000 youth in Edo state. And I believe it was a very successful, massive success. And the reason why it was a massive subject is that it was a massive experience. It wasn't just about training. It was a training institute that was done across industry, not just in tech anyways. Right? But it was a massive success because there were collaborations between the government, the agency, and companies. Companies were literally called to come and train people, right? So in training people, they are most likely training people in their own process, with their own process and things like that. So, and then those companies were also encouraged to get these people on board for internship, right? And it is the federal government that is paying them. So it's not a salary that is coming from the pocket of the startups or the companies. The state government in this case is the one paying the salary for the internship through the period of the internship. So what that means is that the company is literally grooming talent for themselves, while the state government is the one paying the salary for the talent. I have confidence to hire that kind of person because I know this is training that someone is receiving from me directly. And even if the person grabs it and leaves my firm, right, I can confidently refer the talent to another firm to say that this person has taken training in
my own organization, and I'm confident that this person can deliver value. So we need to shift from theoretical framework to project-based learning when it comes to how we train, the method in which we train. And like I mentioned earlier, mentorship is a very critical part in this. Mentorship is big. Whatever program that we are designing, let's ensure that mentorship is at the heart of what we are designing as well. Right. So a lot of Nigerian youth find themselves isolated. They don't have access to seasoned professionals who can guide them. I mean, research has shown that talent that have access to mentors would probably secure jobs and be more successful on the job. Right. So it is very important, like I mentioned earlier, for you to connect that theoretical knowledge and practical employability that ensures that this is a quality talent, would need to engage mentorship to the fullest.
Yeah, thank you for being comprehensive about that. I think we've addressed the issue of how both the government and companies can play a role in making sure that quality talent are released into the market. Now, there's this thing about how, you know, there's this complaint about people are always shouting, train people in tech, train people in tech. Why are people that hire them? But there's a shift to that now, because we've now been made to understand that this tech talent can be useful in any company at all, not just startups, not just tech companies, any company. So I know you mentioned graphic design the other time that can be learned in a short time. Are there other like skills that can be learned within a short time that will be useful for corporate companies, and the duration of learning does not affect the quality of the learning I'm going to get?
Well, absolutely. I believe that is possible. I mean, there are specific industries that your skilling methods is highly effective in that short period without sacrificing the quality, right? I mentioned earlier graphic design. Another, especially in the tech space, another skill set that is crucial, that is UI UX design. So you have platforms like Figma, Adobe XD, that are relatively friendly, that people can learn in a short time from beginners of tutors, right? Tech academies can help them, like we do ourselves at the Set of Digital Academy, right? Part of the things that we do is to equip these guys with the skill set that they have, that they need in a short period of time, because of the ease to learn the tools that makes for a designer in that sense, right? And also, the reason why this has to be done is that the tech ecosystem is skyrocketing, and there's a lot of things are done in fast-paced, right? So there's a lot of requests for talents and skill sets like this, right? So what that means is that more has to be churned out, and for more to be churned out, we have to find a way now in which we are upskilling these guys while we are not going, doing away with quality in that sense. So I think UI UX design, graphic design, are some of the skills that falls under that category. I think digital marketing, some other roles under digital marketing also falls under that category, that you can actually train guys in 6 to 12 weeks, right? For instance, you can train somebody to become a Facebook advert expert in 8 to 12 weeks, right? Meaning that the skill set that he needs for him to start working. And if you have somebody that knows how to do ad placement, know how to run ads, you need that in your organization, because part of the objective or part of what they are set out to do is to get more leads for you as far as your business is concerned. So your bottom line is improved, right? So we can train these guys in 6 to 8 weeks or 6 to 12 weeks, and they can get on board to work for your company. Another role that I think can also be learned in that short time is customer support roles, you know, especially for big fintech companies like the likes of Flutter with the OP. You know, customer support roles are critical to ensuring a smooth operations for them. So while these roles require a basic understanding of company's products and technical troubleshooting skills, the training period is often short. So between 4 to 6 weeks, you can actually pick up a customer support roles, and you can check across what this is what most organizations are doing in that regard. So the key focus here is product knowledge and communication skills, which can be acquired relatively quickly. But while all of that is being said, these industries allow for quicker upskilling, it is also essential to ensure that the quality control mechanism is in place, right? So what you are doing at the back of whatever it is that you are training these guys, that you are connecting them to internship, like I mentioned earlier, connecting them to internship, so that in that period of time, they are also solving real life problems beyond just the theoretical knowledge that they've received, right? In that regard.
Thank you very much, Blessing, for that. So let's move on to that. So what we've been majorly talking about is getting this talent ready to be hired by companies. Now, when they get hired, one of the responsibilities of employers is to make sure that they are fit to carry out their roles, right? People that take initiatives, they are good resource for every company, right? But what roles can companies play when it comes to upskilling their talent? Earlier in March, Flutterwave CEO released a statement talking about its plan in 2024 to upskill its talent and make sure people move across levels in the company, both within the continent and outside. Not many companies pay attention to that, right? So if you'd want to advise employers about upskilling their talent, what would you advise them to go with? Should they train them internally, or should they like involve training institutes like academics, like what you do, to train this talent? Because the trend we are seeing now, for some companies, even corporate organizations, for instance, they are now building internal academies. They too are producing talent that can be useful for both their company and other companies. So what would you advise companies to do? So you can advise them based on their scale, early stage, VC funded, bootstrapping. So what is it that you'd advise them to do?
So when it comes to upskilling employees who are already hired, I believe a hybrid approach works. Something that combines internal academia and external training will be most effective, especially in Nigerian context. So looking at it from the internal academics, part of the advantage is that it allows you to have a tailored approach that aligns with the company's specific needs and culture. So it's always advisable for companies to have internal learning programs where employees are trained to understand the processes and systems that are unique to their operations. You know, this will help them ensure that the employees do not just have technical talent, right? They are not just technically skilled, right? But it allows them to understand how to apply those skills within their company's ecosystem. And this is very critical, especially for sectors that are highly regulated, like the fintech industry. You mentioned Flutterwave, right? Compliance with local regulation is very important, as much as technical proficiency is important to them within that ecosystem. So you want to ensure that your staff are up to date with the frequent changes in regulation. As far as this Nigerian regulatory, as we have in our Nigerian regulatory ecosystem, you can have another policy tomorrow, right? So it's very important that you have something internal that can update your staff and keep your staff up to date in terms of all of these changes that happen in the ecosystem. Internal academies also foster a sense of community and collaboration among employees. So employees get to interact with their colleagues across departments. So it enhances cross-functional teamwork. So an ability is a very needed skill into this workplace, right? So that being said, I also think that external training brings its own different value proposition, because part of the things that it does is that it exposes your employees to industry best practices and new perspectives that necessarily might not be available in-house, right? So this allows your employees to stay updated with latest trends and tools. Again, a fintech company, because I play in the fintech space a bit, right? So a fintech company might send its employee to a blockchain development course outside the company, especially if they are looking to expand solutions, meaning that they are looking to dive into how they can incorporate blockchain and solve blockchain problems on their platform, right? So they might want to send their employees to go for a blockchain development course with an external institution so that they have knowledge and they can know what is obtainable as far as that particular space is concerned, right? And I also believe that external training provides like a cutting edge and technology learning, because they are going to be learning from specialized instructors who have a deep industry expertise. And I think it's one of the things that makes companies stay competitive if your employees have this understanding, right? And part of the things I also afford them is I afford them to network. Because part of the things that you also need to know is that beyond just solving problems for your particular company, there are people across companies that can give you ideas of how you can solve the problem. And that will not apply except to network. So it allows them for them to network and have friends across various industries. So personally, I ultimately believe that companies should invest in both internal academics, external training, because they all have their own advantage. But at the end of the day, we need to ensure that we are using both to grow our economy and upskilling our talent in terms of having quality talent in the ecosystem.
All right. Thank you very much for that. So everybody will choose what works for them based on their skill. Mm. And for those that can afford it, they can try both. So I think I asked that question with the assumption that companies are actually responsible for upskilling talent. In your view, who would you say is primarily responsible for upskilling talent? Is it the company or the individual? Primarily.
So, I think this is a very old debate, right? So from my experience as an employee and also currently as a employee of labor, I think the responsibility of talent, of developing talent rather, is a shared one. And I would give my justification for both. So both the individual and the employer play a critical role, though the responsibility might differ in this case. So if you look at it from an individual standpoint, in Nigeria today, that we have inadequate education system, right? It is important that said development is what an individual should focus on in that sense, I mean, quote and unquote, if you understand me. So it is the responsibility of an individual to take charge of their personal growth and skill development. So at the end of the day, if you say the system is not working, of course, the system is doing a bit, right? In that regard, their initiative, both from public and private sectors to see how they can solve this old issue of talent and drawing up strategy for talent development and all of that. But at the end of the day, even if it does not go around, you need to find something for yourself, right? So you need to take care of your own personal growth and skill development. The internet has democratized learning. That's another truth that is evident today. So there are a lot of you that are taking advantage of various platforms, the likes of Coursera, Udemy, YouTube, to upskill themselves, right? So it's very important that you as an individual, you are proactive. So for instance, in a recent report released by Google, it is revealed that Nigerians are one of their top users of their free digital skill training in Africa. So that tells you something. So if you are waiting for an employer to upskill you, right, it means you are already lacking behind. And, you know, even for you to, for you to be called for an interview, there are certain skills that you should have. So it's very important for you to see to your own personal development. And moreover, that has been the structure over the years, right? And I don't think it has changed. For any company to hire you, there are certain level of education that they expect you to have, right? So please, it is important that talents take their self development very seriously. All right. But however, employers also play very significant responsibility in this fast-paced Nigerian ecosystem, right? So we also cannot wait for a talent that is fully formed. They've done their bit to do some sort of level of self-development in themselves. But we also cannot wait because, like I said earlier, it's our problem. It is not your problem. It's not the federal state government, federal government problem. It is our problem. So what that means is that as an employer, we also need to contribute and we cannot look for fully formed. So upskilling and reskilling employees should be part of our company long-term strategy. Very important, very, very important. In a recent survey released by LinkedIn, we see that companies that invest in employee development have 24% higher rates of retention, right? So it is very important for employers to invest in both technical, not just technical alone, but also invest in soft skills training. And the truth is, there are many global companies that already figured this out. I mean, the likes of Google, the likes of Facebook. Even here, locally in Nigeria, InterSwitch and Flutter, these are companies that have actually figured this out. So, like I said, it's a blend of both. Employees need to take responsibility as well, while the individual also needs to take responsibility as well, so that we are creating a learning loop. So the reader takes initiative to escape themselves, and the reader provides like the environment, the resources, and the support to help them go further.
Thank you for explaining that. And you mentioned something that I think we should quickly go into, and that is the soft skills. So in the past few months, there have been certain discourse about how tech talents are not of good behavior, if I can put it like that, in the companies where they work for. So I do this series where I speak with talent and their unique workplace experiences. And I've had the opportunity to speak with a developer who have done a lot of projects and is currently in the mid-senior level. And I can't remember the number of companies he's currently working for, but he's working for multiple companies, probably overemployed. And I tried to ask him, how are you able to balance all this work while offering or delivering the quality that is required by each project? Well, he made a case of how he has been able to structure his time so that he can commit equally to all the projects he's working on. But not that I don't believe him, but something has to give. And it's one of the things that employers complain about, that these developers, because of their technical skills and how sought after they are not behaving properly. So it seems, I don't want to assume that training institutes or academies do not pay attention to this part of what is required in human interaction, communication, for instance. Some of them don't communicate, they just go student, then they come back with their results. Some of them can't work with a team, they just feel they can be one man mopo and just do what they have to do without, they want to work in silos. So who is to blame for this? Is it the training institute or the irresponsibility on the side of this talent?
Okay, so I think it's both ways, right? So if you look at it in terms of the Nigerian talent development landscape, right? I will take it from, I will say we share the blame. So training academy and also what do you call it? The talents themselves, right? So, but I'm going to take it from the talent, from the training academy perspective, first of all. So there's a lack of emphasis on soft skills in training programs. So where there has been a lot of focus and development on technical proficiency, not enough attention has been paid to some critical soft skills. I mean, like you mentioned, communication, accountability, time management, and team. Because how can you go, say you're working on a project and you go for almost, I don't know how long, and by the time you are back, the solution that you even brought is not what we're expecting for you to have worked on. It doesn't make sense, right? You need to be able to communicate. You need to be able, because what that tells, what that helps with is that we know where the project is. We know if there's a problem on the project and how we can resolve this particular problem. Because what you also need to remember is that beyond just the technical skills that you have, there's an idea that is powering that, whatever it is that you're executing, right? So if there's no alignment between your execution and the ideas, right, it doesn't make any sense. And in terms of ideas, your team members are in the position to give you better ideas beyond just the ideas that you have. So it doesn't make any sense. So part of the things that I think training academies need to emphasize, and I think generally across our education system, right, is we need to lay emphasis on soft skills. We have to use a more holistic approach where it is very important that we integrate this across all of our education initiatives. So the tech bootcamps, university curriculum, the professional development programs. I believe this is very, very important for us to include it in all of our touchments so that these people can communicate effectively. What's the essence of being able to code and you are not working with your team? Then there's no point working on the project. Who could just get the project and work it on it by yourself, right? So it's very important that all of these skills. So speaking to the talent themselves, I think some of these things are also personal in some cases, really. I'll tell you, right? So it means that each talent as well has to do some sort of self assessment, right? To know what are the skills that you're lacking and deliberately work on this, except you are saying you don't give a damn, right? Which to some extent, that those are the extremists and there are cases like that. But generally, at a foundational level, we as an institution or as a body needs to invest in soft skills. But beyond that as well, talent themselves have to be deliberate about working on these things, right? Because there's so much that you say you can take a horse to a river, but you can't force the horse to take water. So there's so much we can give. If all of those things are in place and the talent is still not yielding or does not see any importance in it, I mean, it's just a case of you cannot be hired. I was listening to I was watching a video this morning by one of my other missing that so he was mentioning something in his video that said that if you have somebody that can deliver the job, right, but the person has a bad attitude as an employer, and you have somebody that does not have the skill set that is not there but has a very good attitude, meaning that the person is open to learn, is able to collaborate, who do you keep? The question is, who do you keep? And it's not difficult. You keep the person that is open to learning because you have the opportunity of training the person that is open to learning. But the person with the bad attitude, part of the things that you're also not remembering is that this person can affect other people that are within the organization because they think that they all think that, okay, if this person can have it. And you know, it's a very funny insist culture in Nigeria. Anyways, let me go into that. But what I'm saying here is that as much as the system is making efforts to ensure that these soft skills, and we are going to be imputing and drafting this soft skills training in our curriculum, it's also important that the talents themselves, right, are deliberate about having these soft skills.
Thank you. Before I move on from that question, so the reference you made about the question one of your bosses posed out. So as an employer of labor now, what deficient of, let me find the best way to put it, what soft skills will be deficient in a person that you can't pass on, that you can't overlook, no matter how talented that person is technically?
So if you ask me, I think all soft skills are very important because depending on the project they are working on, each soft skill comes to play, right? So communication is key, right? You need to communicate when you're working on projects. Teamwork is key, right? You need to be able to collaborate when you're working on projects. Time management is also very key, especially if you're working in the agency, if you're working in agency like I did for so many years, right? Because we are delivering to clients and the clients would not want to hear that, right? So maybe for an agency, maybe they are looking for for both teamwork and time management, right? But it differs from company to company, right? So I won't say that one is important than the other. But I think as an employer, you know what you can cope with and you know what you cannot cope with in that sense. But at the same time, in any way you don't want to promote the lack of any of these skills. It's very important. You understand what I'm saying? So whether it is communication, whether it is teamwork, whether it is time management, I think all of these soft skills are very important. And whether it is being able to solve problems and critical thinking, there are some people that are on the team that they can actually solve the problem, they can actually execute, but in terms of problem thinking, they are not there, right? So, and some institutions can actually go with that because, I mean, the CEO is the one that is doing all of the heavy thinking in that regard, and he's okay with that. But I've worked with a boss that if you cannot critically think about the problem, it's a no-no for her. Do you understand? Like, it's like a big piece of for her that we are talking about something and you don't have anything to contribute. In fact, when we are in meetings, everybody's expected to unmute your mic and make a contribution. That's how, because she believes that you have an idea. You have something to say. You should have something to say on what we are discussing. So for her, if you're in a meeting and you are silent, it is a no-no for her. It doesn't happen. If you do that repeatedly, over time, it becomes like HR. It seems we need to do something about this in that environment. So it differs from company, but I would say that generally, we don't want to play down on any because all of these soft skills are very important in terms of executing a project and whatever it is that we are doing as an organization.
Okay, so we're moving towards the end of this conversation now. One thing I would like to know is, you know, sometimes employers or managers listen to conversations like this, and they are able to figure out where the problem is, where we need improvement. But then they adopt whatever tips you give out in conversations like this, and then they just continue doing it because everybody's doing it, or it's best practice or industry best practice. So I would like you to give like idea on what companies, employers or managers can use as metrics to measure whether to know whether what they are doing is actually being effective when it comes to upskilling, or looking out for the kind of skills the person should have, or looking out for the quality of talent they should hire, whether they should do external trainees or internal trainees. So what are the metrics that can be used to measure the success of any of those initiatives that they decide to go for?
For employers, what they should use to gauge in this, the success of the initiative, right? I think first of all is the impact of the program that they are making them go through. So it usually starts when we identify a problem, right? That there's a problem in or there's a deficiency in terms of our workforce. There are certain skills that are not there, or there are certain things that they're not seeing in terms of maybe collaboration, teamwork. In terms of efficiency or the effectiveness of the of how they are solving the problems that you as an organization are solving, right? Or in terms of the execution, right? So I think once you identify the problem, you can be able to put a metric to it once the problem is solved. And I think one thing to note that here is that sometimes it's over a period of time. So the fact that they go to a training today doesn't mean by next week they start they start doing something different. You also need to ensure that there's some sort of follow-up in that timeline so that it is effective, right? So I think it's very, very important. So like I said, to backtrack what I just said, you need to identify what problem it is that you're actually using that to solve, because you know, for each companies, the problems are different. What they are facing are different. For some people, it might be, like I mentioned earlier, it might be a problem that there's no enough teamwork within the team. So maybe you want to do some sort of external retreat and bring external expertise or coach to help them so that they can foster a bit of teamwork within the workforce, right? And for some people, it might be deficiency. Maybe you hired someone, and in terms of the industry tools that you are using, right, there's been a bit of a change, right, or there's been an upgrade, or even the software that you're currently using to execute some of this the processes, there has been some sort of update from the call it OEMs that are manufacturing the softwares and all of that. You need to take them for training. So in that case, what you want to gauge is, does this person know exactly what the updated trends, or what are the additional things that have been added to this particular tool, or in terms of their skill set, can they deliver projects using that particular skill set that they've gone out to go and learn, right? So, like I said, it differs from company to company, but part of the thing that will be helpful is that, first of all, you are solving a problem. You need to identify what problem exactly are you solving, and once you know the problem, you can be able to be sure if the problem has been solved, because you are the one seeing the problem. So whatever it is, it could be across, like I said, technical skills or soft skills. Whatever the problem is, you need to identify it and then let them go for the training. By so doing, you can be able to know when the problem has been solved and does not be solved. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Blessing, for the very insightful conversation. Do you have anything you want to plug in to this conversation that will be useful for our audience?
So the Setup Academy, which is a company that I co-founded with a partner, right? We are having another cohort of data skill training this September. So if you are looking to upskill yourself, you can check our website at academy.thesetup.digital. And then we're also open to collaboration. So let's say, for instance, you are running an initiative where you need to upskill a number of youth and educational organizations to collaborate with. We're also open to that in that regard. So thank you very much for that, Luan Ifem.
And that's it on this week's episode of the Modern Workplace Conversations. Catch you in the next one. D Did you find this episode informative? Do well to drop us a review and also share with your network.